This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
From Variety, I'm Michael Schneider. Jimmy Fallon watched a lot of TV as a kid and gravitated toward the golden age of late 1970s sitcoms like Barney Miller and Mary Tyler Moore. But Taxi was one of his all-time favorites, and in particular, an episode from late in the show's run when Jim, played by Christopher Lloyd, loses his father. The episode's poignant ending still resonates with Fallon to this day.
I've never seen anything like this. It's the most funny, poignant, most beautiful thing. I don't know. It just always stuck with me in my head. There's so many episodes from that show that stick in my head, but that kind of changed me a little bit. I always think of that. When my mom passed, like I wanted to go back to work on the Tonight Show just to get something to keep me... I don't know, maybe that was inspired by that episode. I don't know.
On this edition of the podcast, we talked to Jimmy Fallon about his favorite episode of TV ever, the 1982 Taxi episode, Jim's Inheritance, as well as sitcoms in general, and also what he misses most about Los Angeles. It's my favorite episode.
My favorite episode, let's talk TV, my favorite episode makes me so happy. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Variety's My Favorite Episode. Let's give it up for your host, Michael Schneider.
Thank you, DJ Omar Khan, for the theme song. It's my favorite episode, and this time out, we're talking to The Tonight Show, starring Jimmy Fallon, host Jimmy Fallon. Fallon's pick is the Taxi Season 5 episode, Jim's Inheritance. Written by Ken Esten and directed by Noam Pitlick, the episode first aired on October 7, 1982. Jim's Inheritance is a showcase for Christopher Lloyd, whose character, the Reverend Jim Iggy Ignatowski, discovers that his father has passed away. The storyline came about when the real actor who played Jim's dad, Victor Buono, also had died earlier that year. In the episode, Jim discovers that his father has left him $3.5 million in his will, but his siblings sue to declare him incompetent and have control of his estate.
I'd like to talk to Mr. Ignatowski. How are you feeling today, Mr. Ignatowski?
Competent.
May I elaborate on that, Your Honor? Jim is the wisest man I ever met. This man is so far ahead of the rest of us that most people often mistake his wisdom for burnt out brain cells. Your Honor, take it from me. This man is one smart cookie.
Boss, if you feel like that about me, who cares about the money?
Shut up, you idiot.
Christopher Lloyd won an Emmy that year for supporting actor in a comedy, while writer Ken Esten was nominated for outstanding writing in a comedy series for the episode. For Fallon, Taxi was the perfect sitcom. The characters, the theme song, the directing, the writing. He calls it like watching good theater. We recently sat down with The Tonight Show host to recap the episode, as well as discuss sitcoms in general and hosting the Emmys, as well as new tweaks he's making to The Tonight Show to keep things fresh. But first, since Fallon was in Los Angeles, we talked about his time here and what he missed most about living on the West Coast.
You know, this is so different than from New York, so I love the business and I love all of it. And I remember being out here struggling, and I remember driving, and I remember... I don't drive anymore. You don't drive in New York.
Yeah, do you miss driving?
No. No? I'm really frightened when I drive. I'm a terrible driver. But there's something about it I miss. I miss the radio of it all. You don't listen to that much radio in New York unless you have it on your, you know, if you're streaming it or have it on your, you know, your AirPods or whatever like that. But usually when you're driving in here, you have nothing but radio to listen to, and there's really good stations out here.
Yeah, and now podcasts. So do you have time to listen to podcasts? Do you?
You have to make time. I mean, and the weather's got to be good so I can walk to work, you know. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's. But I listen to podcasts now. That's like the biggest thing ever, and I do that. And now they're doing like Audible streaming stuff. I'm doing that now. I'm just trying every medium. It's really interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
How it's kind of just grown and in all different ways. You're like, oh wow, podcasts. I didn't see that one really blowing up as big as it is.
Right, and the irony is it's basically radio, you know, modern-day radio. People doing plays and you know, doing comedy and doing, like, the kinds of things you know, you did in the 30s on the radio.
Yeah, exactly. It's great, and I love radio. I love the fun of it because right now I could be like, I love your hat. It's beautiful. I guess you're wearing it for the Kentucky Derby. Yes.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're not bad, but is he wearing a hat? We don't.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the fun of radio.
I look very pretty right now.
Yeah, well, look, it's raining.
Exactly. See, yeah.
We're
bringing it back.
I'm bringing it way back, like a Foley artist.
Bringing it back.
Yeah. I love it out here. I think it's great, and I think about the fun times and Mr. Damiano's. Mr. Pizza. Damiano's Mr. Pizza.
Yeah, yeah.
Kate Mangalini's.
Fairfax, yeah, which no longer exists.
Neither one exists.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
I remember Chris Rock took me to dinner at Kate Mangalini's once. I went to go see him at the amphitheater. And my friend knew him, and he was like, we're going to meet at Kate Mangalini's, and I'll treat. And I had no money. I mean, I was living off of like half a brick of ramen noodle soup. So yeah. I was so excited to eat anything. And he treated us for dinner. I'll never forget it. Kate Mangalini's was like, the most delicious thing I've ever had in my lifetime. And
yeah.
But Johnny Pastrami's on Sepulveda. Uh-huh. Do you know that? Around the Venice area?
Is it? Yeah, is that still around? Yeah, I'm not
that's
sure.
That's definitely should. That's the best corned beef pastrami and hot mustard and pickles in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Johnny Pastrami, run, don't walk. And then run again because it's a lot of calories.
And how have you never had a character named Johnny Pastrami?
Have I not done my famous character, Johnny Pastrami,
yes,
based
remember,
on my L.A. Experiences?
Remember Johnny Pastrami? So did you move back for SNL? Or
yeah.
How long has it been now since you lived out here? It's been a while.
Yeah, that was 98. It was probably the last time I lived out here. But I had two apartments, one in Mar Vista, one in Brentwood. And I used to like have nothing to do during the day. Because I'm a comedian, so you work at nighttime.
Yeah.
And I would just watch soap operas, and I would see how fast, if I could make it from the murder scene to OJ's house. You know, yeah. Stuff like that. Stuff, things you do at that time in
yeah.
LA.
Yeah.
You know, and I never could do it. So I go, I don't know how he did it.
Yeah.
No, but you got to test yourself, you know?
Yeah.
But I used to do that, and I used to, like, play basketball, and I had so many auditions and rejections, and I remember there was a Carl's Jr. parking lot by Universal that I remember crying in. This is over. I'm not going to make it. I'm officially done. I can't crack it. I'm actually lost it. I have no money. I don't even know if I have a future. I don't know if anyone likes me. What's going on? It was really rough. And happily, I went back to that Carl's Jr. and ordered everything. I think they dedicated a booth to me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, dude, I have my own ride at Universal now.
Yeah.
Come on.
Exactly.
How cool is that?
And then you can go to Carl's Jr. after. By the way, I'm sure you're not the first person to cry at a Carl's Jr. parking lot.
Good or bad.
That's the thing.
That's the thing that happens. After you eat, or
just in general. Like,
it's all I could. I couldn't even afford. I don't even think I ordered anything. I just parked in there because I just left an audition that they said, I knew I blew it.
Yeah.
You know, because your agents tell you when you go into the audition, they go, bring your piece of paper with you to your lines, hold it in your hand so that it doesn't look like you're polished. It looks like there's room for improvement. So you go, oh, this kid, kind of green, but there's room for improvement. I could direct him. He's got the part. So I would go in with at the time, I want to say fax machine copy of the script, and I go and read my line, and oh my gosh, I just don't miss those things. But I see those scenes in La La Land or whatever you watch, and or have kids come on my show and talk about auditioning, and I don't miss it at all.
Do you remember any shows that went on to actually exist that you auditioned for that
of course, had
a chance?
Brady Bunch 2, that was my first audition on the Paramount lot. Was it Deb Aquila, maybe, was the casting director? Maybe it wasn't Deb, but it was my first one, and just getting onto the Paramount lot, you're like, I made it. This is Hollywood. Yeah. This is so beautiful.
Through those arches, the yeah.
gates. Oh, my gosh. You go, this is like where they filmed The Godfather. This is, you know, you looked over to the right. There's like a Klingon taking a coffee break, like smoking. And you know, I was like, this is show business. Oh, my gosh. This is where I want to do this.
Yeah.
And then I had one line where it was like, it was a lifeguard. I played lifeguard number two. And I was like, get out of the water or something like that. And I did it horribly. And I had the piece of paper in my hand. And I remember someone in the room, probably not Deb Aquila, but someone saying, thank you. Bye-bye. I go, you just say bye-bye? Like the sketch, the SNL sketch. Like, does people really do that? So I go, oh, okay, do you want me to do it again? They go, no, we're good. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. And I go, wow. And then once you leave, you're not coming back to Paramount. I mean, that's you had your pass.
Yeah.
So you can't wander. I'm so afraid of getting arrested or something on the Paramount lot. Like,
yeah.
Why are you here? But
you didn't do one of those things where you like stormed back in the room and said, listen,
I am lifeguard number two. No, you. Yeah. And then the next, now get out of the water. Bravo. That's what we wanted.
They slowly stand.
We wanted to push you to the edge of you saying, get out of the water. Yeah.
That's the beginning. That's the beginning of the magic.
I was reading Gary Marshall's book, Wake Me When It's Funny. Someone gave me that when I moved out to LA. And I remember all the stories about being on that lot and Laverne and Shirley and Mork and Mindy and Happy Days. And so I was just like looking around, like I just wanted to see anyone making a show or,
yeah.
You know, I loved it. I really, I'm a fan of, you know, the business. I love movies. I love TV. I'm like, this is insane what's happening right now.
Now check out this segue. Another Paramount show was Taxi.
This is why you get paid the big bucks. This is why you get paid the big bucks.
This is why I'm a journalist, getting the big journo cash.
Taxi is my all-time favorite show of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's my favorite.
How'd you get into Taxi? You're a young whippersnapper.
Taxi was my mom and dad. We would watch Taxi. We watched a lot of TV. I remember having dinner with the TV snack tables. And we're all around the TV, and we'd watch television all night long. I mean, my dad would get home from work, and we'd watch Barney Miller and, Mary Tyler Moore. And Taxi was one of our all-time favorites. And sometimes it would be a little too risque for me and my sister, so we weren't allowed to watch,
yeah,
you know, certain episodes. Where I remember we would go like, but Mom, we have to find out if, you know, Simca's going to sleep with Alex. She's like, okay, good night. Like, exactly. What are you talking about?
I think most of that was just kind of going over your head, but well, you wanted to see Latka.
We thought his voice was funny. You know? Yeah. We didn't understand, but I just remember it being so emotional, but like funny, but also touching and charming.
Yeah.
So, and just even from the beginning of the show, I think it's the Queensboro Bridge, it's a loop of a taxi on a bridge. And it's a really badly cut loop. If you watch it, you can see them. It loops around four times as all the credits are rolling.
Uh-huh.
But that sad theme song.
That's theme song, oh, which gets in your head.
It's haunting. Angela's theme.
Yeah, it's the saddest thing for a sitcom.
It's for a sitcom. And then the keyboard comes in. That's like, it's beautiful. Yeah. Like Rose, like. Yeah. It's groovy. It's electric. Oh my god! But it just reminds me of New York City, and then you see where the show's set, which is a cabbie garage.
Yeah,
and the whole show's set in the garage, and I love that. I love that. That's the set.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you tell the show?
You know what's interesting is it's because it's a workplace comedy, and you wouldn't think that that kind of show would appeal to kids, but. I remember Greg Daniels has a theory that those kind of workplace comedies, like The Office, actually appeal to kids because it reminds them of school. It reminds them of the hierarchy. It reminds them of sort of, there's the teacher, in this case it'd be Danny DeVito, then there's the misfits. Everyone's got sort of their role just like they do in school.
Yeah, I thought it was just the perfect sitcom because they had every character.
Yeah.
You know, they had, you know, Mary Lou Henner was just gorgeous, you know. Then you had Tony Danza, who was just the kind of dumb jock.
Yeah.
Alex, you had Judd Hirsch, he was the brains. Jeff Conway wanted to be an actor.
Yeah.
Danny was the tough, you know, Danny DeVito was Louis De Palma. Jim was spaced out.
Yeah.
Like drugged out dude. Latka was a foreigner that I don't know what, I mean, I don't know how he invented that.
Right, right. Just
no
that.
One really knew where he's from or what language, but he made up a language.
Yeah. And of course, the genius of Andy Kaufman.
Brilliant. He could have a full on episode with gibberish.
Yeah.
But also, it's James L. Brooks.
Yeah.
And it's Ed period Weinberger.
Exactly.
Not Ed Weinberger, Ed Dot. Period,
yeah, which I never, what that was all about.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that. What does that mean? But there's probably another Ed Weinberger somewhere else. Yeah. And he had to change his name. He'll just put a period in there.
Yeah.
But Simon and...
Yeah.
It's just interesting. So many talented people came out of that show.
Jimmy Burrows, of course.
James Burrows.
Yeah.
James Burrows is like, I mean, royalty, legend.
Yeah.
This is his first show or one of his first shows?
One of his. I mean, he came, because then, of course, they all moved on to do their own thing.
Yeah.
They created their own company after that. Or I think they went to MTM, maybe. I forget what the timing was. But
there's so many talented people there. Like, and just the style of the show was great for me, too. And the directing and...
Yeah,
for me, Taxi was like watching in my head. Now I'm older. I can go, it's like watching good theater.
Yeah, yeah. It was a great play every week.
Yeah, it's the fourth wall. There's a stage, and they're all on the stage. They're all talking. You're the fourth wall watching. This is what, you know, any great sitcom, three-camera sitcom, you know, Seinfeld or whatever it is. Like, you're that. You're the wall no one sees.
Yeah.
You know, what would be on this wall of the garage? No one will ever know.
Yeah, yeah.
You couldn't describe it. I'd love to see someone draw it, what they think would be on that wall. But there's no soda machines. There's nothing.
Right.
Or else you'd be using it.
Right. What is that fourth
wall?
What
is that fourth wall?
You know, it's funny. Speaking of James Burrows, a couple of years ago, NBC did a special because I think it was like his thousandth episode that he was directing or something. So they brought back the cast of all the shows, including Friends and Taxi and a couple others. And so I got to go to the taping, and I sat at the table right next to the Taxi cast. They were the loudest, like they were partying, like this crew who hadn't, like, you know, the show ended 40 years ago. They were just having the time of their lives. They're all
so
there.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, you watch these episodes and you go, Tony Danza is a great actor. He's fantastic.
Yeah.
Christopher Lloyd is unbelievable. And Danny DeVito. I mean, this Rhea Perlman, when she would come on, you know, as
Carol Kane.
Carol Kane. I mean, they all had these moments that I always was blown away. Everyone's got their episode that it probably is their favorite episode of their own, you know, acting reel. But, I mean, everyone got the score on that show.
Yeah, yeah.
It was amazing how you could just do that. Maybe it was the 70s or, you know, where you could put serious issues into a 23-minute show, but... They really did it.
Yeah, there was something, I think, more freeing with the shows back then. Of course, also the era of the Norman Lear shows, and there was just this ability to do that kind of thing.
You couldn't do that anymore. You couldn't have a main character, be raped.
No.
I mean, Edith was raped.
Not on broadcast.
What?
Definitely not on broadcast.
What are you talking about? Yeah. I mean, Dudley was molested on Different Strokes. You go, he's a main character.
Gordon Jump,
dude, Gordon from Jump. WKRP in Cincinnati.
He went dark.
He went real. I go, well, I mean, imagine being Dudley's agent or his mom going like, what? Hey, good news. We got another role for Dudley. Here's the role. Here's the episode. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
So do you watch WKRP, Dudley's mom?
You're a fan of Venus Flytrap?
Yeah, of radio? Yeah.
Dude, that was, but I mean... I just love that they could take that much space and that much breathing room again, like in a 23-minute sitcom for serious stuff, but take the time and like breathe and act and let you. That's always my favorite, when the audience solves the joke or they get the punchline or they are on the same page. And you know what I'm saying? As opposed to just rat-a-tat-tat, here's the joke, and you know, I don't have to do any work. But the audience do some work.
So the episode that you chose is actually late in the show's run. It's from season 5, yeah. Actually, when the show had even jumped from ABC to NBC for its final season.
Is this
season.
An NBC one?
This is an NBC one, but it's still a great episode. And you know, it's a real showcase for Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, I mean, so. Can you imagine an actor doing... The episode I chose was Taxi... I think it's called Jim's Inheritance.
Yeah, yeah. It's season 5, episode 2.
Christopher Lloyd... I mean, I don't know if he won an Emmy for this. But
he did. As a matter of fact, he did win an Emmy for this.
He did?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy.
And the writer of the episode was nominated. But yeah, this was... Chris Lloyd picked up an Emmy for this.
I'll never, ever forget it. I just... he should have won an Oscar for this. Yeah. I mean, he's really... It shows what a great actor who can do anything. The idea of it is... I mean, I don't know if you want to set it up or me, but Jim's dad died. He dies.
Yeah, and the actor who played Jim's dad in real life had passed away. So that's what sort of... So side note on him, by the way, which I didn't know much about. This guy who passed away, his name was Victor Charles Buono. Buono, maybe?
Buono?
Something like that. Buono. But so he played Christopher Lloyd's character's father. So he passed away earlier that year. He was a large man, and they make jokes about how large he was. But yeah. He was only 43 when he died. But he had a career out of playing older characters than how old he actually was. But he was only 43.
Gosh, he played much older.
Yeah,
yeah. The backstories a lot of people don't remember from Jim Ignatowski, who everyone did an impression of. If you did an impression, you're like. Oh, Alex, I don't know. You know. Everyone has a gym or had one.
Yeah.
Is that he was at one point a very smart Harvard student. He was a genius.
Right.
His name was James Caldwell, I want to say is his real name.
Yeah, before he changed it. Yeah.
He changed it to Ignatowski.
Yeah, yeah.
That is so funny. It's just great. But he was... And then no one really explains, right, really kind of what happened.
I think the backstory is he eats like a pot brownie
yes,
or something.
Exactly. It's a pot brownie. That's exactly what happened. And then his face changes. Do you remember that episode?
Yeah.
He takes a bite and you just see his face transform into Jim Ignatowski's. This was one of the best acting jobs of any actor. I mean, this is pre-Kramer.
Yeah.
I mean, but there's no going back once you do Jim Ignatowski.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't. Come out and do a different, you know, hi, this is Jim's world now. And you're like, that you can't spin off that character. It's like, you're Kramer, dude.
Yeah.
You crushed it. You actually nailed it. You were so good at your character that no one will ever see you as anything else unless you really try to push it. Tony Danza went on to do 10 other versions of Tony. He played Tony in like 5 other shows. Yeah. Tony Banta, Tony... was always
Maselli. Yeah, he's
Tony Maselli. Yeah. Yeah, who's the boss? But I mean, so that's the backstory of Jim Ignatowski.
It's a sad. I mean, it's really pretty sad when you think about it. How tragic this Harvard, you know, grad who has one bite of a pot brownie and becomes this stoned out sort of lump. And it's doubly sad in this episode because of the fact that his father dies and he's left. And it's not a joke. He's left with $3.5 million.
Yeah,
but his siblings want to create a conservatism.
They don't believe that. They think he's lost. He's drugged out.
Yeah,
so his brain cells are gone. He's dead. He's incompetent. So he can't. He shouldn't get any of the dad's inheritance and stuff like that. And all he really wants is that the love from his dad and to say the recognition to say like, hey, I'm actually proud of you. You know, you're my son, and I'm proud of you as well, even though you didn't. Make it in Harvard. You're a cab driver, you know. But I still love you, you know. And that's all he wants from this. But I think it just starts off funny because Danny DeVito starts off the episode where he's like, "I got to break it to him, and I'm the guy to do it because I'm Iggy's friend, and I'm I break it to everybody in the garage. I mean, I told Perez, didn't I tell you 2 days ago? Remember, I told you that your father passed." And then Perez goes, what? He goes, oh, my gosh, I forgot to guy starts crying. He goes, all right, take the day off. He leaves. That's already it's funny.
Yeah.
Then Danny DeVito sits Jim down, and he goes, you're going to want to sit down for this. And this was genius about Taxi. He was like, because he goes, your father's not with us. And he goes, he never was. He lives in Boston. I know, yeah, but Jim, yeah, but what I'm saying is he's moved on to, what does he say? He's moved on to...
like Boca Raton or something.
He's moved on to
a better place. Yeah.
A better place. Yeah. He goes, a condo in Palm Beach?
Yeah.
It's like, dude, stop talking. He goes, no, he's dead. And then it hits him, and he's like, oh, man, I told him to lose weight, and, you know. It's kind of sad. And then he goes, well, just give me a cab. I just want to, through my grief. I just need something to distract me from my dad. And he goes, all right, take cab 410. And he goes, that's so ironic. That's exactly how much dad weighed. So then he leaves, and one of the best jokes is Danny DeVito goes, wow, that was rough. I mean, first Garcia and now Jim. And Jed Hirsch goes, Garcia, you told Perez that his dad died.
Like, right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He told the wrong guy that his father
died. Yeah, yeah. And the other great slapsticky scene is when so Dick Sargent playing the so by the way, side note, you know, Dick number you know, Daryl, what's his name from
Darren,
thank you,
from Bewitched. Oh, Bewitched.
Yeah. So Darren number two,
from the second Darren,
yeah, the other Dick, yeah. Dick Sargent, as opposed to Dick York. So he's playing the lawyer, his dad's lawyer.
Fantastically cast.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfectly cast. He's playing the lawyer to tell him, like, hey, you know, your dad left you this money. But oh, isn't that great?
Yeah.
What a great cast. They always had good casting on that show.
And then the second he says $3.5 million... that Louis, like,
cage, falls through the cage.
Yeah, yeah, falls through the cage. Physical, the window falls down.
Full on, he's like, I couldn't help overhearing.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Like, full on physical comedy. That's the other great thing. I do appreciate some good physical comedy. And
yeah.
Taxi always had stuff like that.
It was a nice mix.
So then they have to go to. They have to go to court.
Yeah, yeah, to a judge,
and Tony and. And the whole gang has to prove why Jim is competent,
and they do a pretty good job.
Yeah.
It's you know, it's funny, but yet they still really do give a good case for why Jim is competent. But nonetheless, the judge says no. You need, you know, some sort of guidance.
Yeah, he's like, why were you living in an abandoned apartment building for five years?
Yeah, but then fast forward to the ending.
Oof.
This is why Christopher Lloyd won the Emmy that year, because it's just such a touching, simple, understated moment. But
also physically funny, physical comedy funny. He's in his apartment, this shabby, really, you make no money, like, wow, this is a rough life. But he's happy, he's totally fine. Elaine comes to the door, and she goes, Do you want to talk? Do you need time alone? He's like, no, come on in. She steps over this trunk. She goes, you know, you have a trunk outside here, your door. He goes, yeah. Someone dropped that off. I guess it's from my father, whatever. She goes, do you want me to bring it in? He goes, no, I don't want it. I think I should bring it in. So she brings it in. And they start talking, and she's like, if you need anything. He goes, actually, you know what? I do need some time by myself. Thank you. So she leaves, which I love that shows like how close they are. She would go to his apartment just to check up on him.
Yeah.
I loved it. Then he goes over, he's like, what am I going to do? What is in this trunk? You know, and you're going, it's $3 million. It's gold. It's something. It's jewelry. It's something. He opens the trunk, and in the trunk, it's just clothes and photos.
Yeah. Massive pants.
Massive.
Huge size pants.
Yeah. So he pulls that. He goes, Dad's best suit.
Yeah.
And he pulls out the pants and he lays them on this. Oh, this is a brilliant joke. I've never seen it done. You lay it on the easy chair, whatever they call the lazy boy chair. He lays the pants down and he takes out the blazer, the suit jacket. It's a giant, you know, 400 pound man's blazer. It's like, Dad got married in the suit. And he puts the blazer on the back of the lazy boy. And the chair falls back from the weight of the blazer.
Right.
And the legs kick up. And it looks like a human being.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is genius.
Yeah.
That is, it's like a That's a brilliant. It looks like he's talking to his dad.
Yeah.
It's a chair with a blazer and pants on. And he starts saying, I wish I could tell you I loved you. Ugh. And then he goes, I'm sorry I never cried. And he starts crying.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, here I am, I'm crying. But am I crying because of you, or am I crying because I'm sad I never cried? He goes, wait a second, now I'm not crying. Now I'm crying again. They just cry again.
Yeah.
So it's actually some comedy in there.
Yeah.
And he goes, I just want to tell you, I love you, and you're a pretty good guy. And I wish I could hear you say something back to me. And he adjusts his blazer, and there's something in his pocket. And he goes, puts his hand in the pocket, and pulls it out, and it's a cassette tape. He goes, a cassette tape? So he goes over to this tiny little cassette recording, puts the tape in, presses play, and you hear the beginning of Stevie Wonder. And he makes his face, and he looks at the blazer, and he goes, you like Stevie Wonder? Which is not the point of it all.
Right, right, right.
And then you start hearing the song, and it's You Are the Sunshine of My Life.
Yeah.
And it hits him. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
And he brings the cassette player over and puts it on the chair as if the chair is talking to him.
Yeah.
Singing the song to him. That's why I'll always be around. And then he just sits back in the couch and just puts his head back and smiles like, wow, that's what he wanted.
Fade to black.
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful.
And that's where it totally feels like a stage play.
Like never
that,
seen anything like
that's how a perfect stage play would end. Yeah.
I've never seen anything like this. It's the most funny, poignant, most beautiful thing. And it always stuck in my head. I never will ever forget it. And I remember even playing with my sister, and we would, every time we heard that song, we would be like, you like Stevie Wonder? Every time we heard that song. I don't know. It just always stuck with me in my head.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so many episodes from that show that stick in my head, but that kind of changed me a little bit. I always think of that. And I don't know. Even like when my mom passed, like I wanted to go back to work on the Tonight Show just to get something to keep me. I don't know. Maybe that was inspired by that episode. I don't know.
Yeah, I could see that. Like, you know, thinking about Jim and how he wanted to kind of go back to his cab. And, yeah, everyone kind of grieves in different ways, as they say. So
but also when they're sticking up for him and talking about him, they're like, he's actually not mentally unstable. He's very capable of doing everything. I mean, he's one of the smartest people I've actually met in my life. And he goes, wow, if you really think that about me, then who cares about this $3.5 million? And he goes, shut up, you idiot.
Yeah, Louis.
Shut up, you idiot. He just said the nicest things about him.
Yeah.
How he's the smartest guy he's ever met.
Yeah.
He calls him an idiot.
Yeah.
It's so well done.
Yeah. And then, of course, fade to black. And then the end of every episode, you can't ever forget that tag that, you know, good night, Mr. Walters.
That's every... Dude, I love, you know, when we do bits in the Tonight Show, we would do fake tags on things where it's like blah, blah, blah productions or Paul Grickrod, we'll make up a name.
Yeah.
And it's like a cat that swings a telescope so he can look at the stars or something. Because that always made me laugh. Or what was the one where typing and the paper kept flipping around?
Oh, yeah. Stephen J. Cannell.
Stephen J.
Yeah.
Cannell.
Yeah. He's like typing so fast, furiously.
Oh,
it's like,
yeah, he has so much story.
He's another riptide.
Greatest American hero. Yeah. It's great. I love those. There were the MTM.
Yeah.
Was it?
Meow.
Yeah, with the little kitten. Like a joke on MGM. Yeah. Yeah. Sit, Ubu, Sit.
Good dog. I love all those ones.
Yeah.
Was that Sit, Ubu, Sit? Was that Family Ties?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
That was like Gary David Goldberg.
Yeah.
So.
I was so happy that you asked me to come on, but I was happy to talk about this because that show meant so much to me. One of my favorite shows of all time, ever, in history. And every time I've had any of the cast members on, I've had all of them on the shows during, I think Judd Hirsch might be the only one that hasn't been on. But Mary Lou's been on. Tony Danza's been on. Danny DeVito. Oh, Christopher Lloyd I haven't had on. But I'd love to talk to them and just say thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
They're brilliant.
No, and I bet Mary Lou remembers every date. that she's been she on your show. Thing,
yes, she does.
She could goes,
I remember the first time I met you. It was May 10th, and yeah. she was right.
Yeah.
I go, that was when I met you. Wow.
I bet she remembers the day that she recorded this episode. She what was does, that? Craft right? Services? It's pretty insane.
What a fun show, though. Also, like, the fact that a lawyer would show up to a garage to discuss the dad's inheritance.
Yeah, yeah.
It would never happen. What are you talking about?
Suspension of belief, I suppose.
Of course it is, but the whole episode was in the garage. The other thing that's funny is when Danny's trying to kiss up to the Dick Sargent,
yeah.
to the attorney, he's like, my friend might be rich. He wants to kiss up to him. He's like, give him the best donut we have. And he goes, what is this? It's not even a powder donut. This is crap. And he throws it. He throws it like yeah. behind a cab. Cut to two scenes later, Jim walks in. He goes, this is my lucky day. Yeah. And he's eating the donut.
Yeah.
So he got hit in the head with the donut, and he thought that was a sign. Like, that was a lucky day for him.
Why do you think there are so few of these I mean, we talk about this a lot, the difficulty of doing these kind of shows now. I mean, and a lot of Big Bang is just ending. You know, there are a few shows that still are able to do this, but there aren't many that are able to pull this off anymore.
I don't know if we're going too fast, maybe. This might be too slow for people.
Yeah.
And two, I think everything has to be 10 jokes a minute now. That's what people are used to. So it's machine gun comedy as opposed to all you need are like 5 really good ones. You only have 22 minutes or whatever. I mean, yeah. it's probably even shorter now. You don't need that many jokes. There's not that many jokes in this. But all the ones that are in there really score. And it sticks with you. But I think, you know, there could be a renaissance of these types of shows. I mean, I think now with this content everywhere, I feel like someone has to love this stuff. I mean, I do. I would love to watch a sitcom that was beautiful like this. You know,
yeah.
that is, even it's you know, I think it's all slowed down now. But I mean, I'm sure Big Bang Theory is going to be sad at one point. That last episode, you want it to be. You need to pull the heartstrings a little bit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Friends, when they would have a moment where they're like, it was the end of the first episode, right? We're like, we have each other. We're friends. Boom, I'm watching for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You got me. You hooked me. That was the moment. It wasn't the laughs. It wasn't Jennifer Aniston and the wedding. It wasn't any of that stuff. It was the last 2 seconds or 3 seconds of them looking at each other like, we're going to get through this with each other.
Yeah.
And that's, I think we need more of that. It's like if you get, but you can't abuse it either. You know? You can't be every week someone's dying or something.
Right.
But you sprinkle it in every now and then. It's like, I think Friends did it really well.
Well, Jim, we're kind of running out of time, so I want to ask you real quick one more thing since we're here talking about Emmys.
Yeah.
And you're someone who has hosted the Emmys before.
Absolutely.
And there's been all this conversation about hosting award shows, and we saw what happened with the Oscars and the debate over, you know, how difficult a job it really is. I mean, you're a guy who does this every night for a living, but there's something different about hosting an award show, right? And what is the difficulty level, and why do you think it is so tough to find the right host for these kind of shows?
It's a tough job, and it's a kind of a thankless job, really, because of, I don't know when it happened, but the host started getting really criticized. And so I think it was probably after the Billy Crystal, because he just crushed and everyone loved it, and like, who can be better than him? And it's like, no, it should just be fun. They should just have one host sign up for like the next 10 years, and you go, like it or not, that's our host. That's who we have. We signed blah blah blah, Sarah Gilmartin is our host for the next 5 years. So that's it. Like it, and then just enjoy it. Enjoy the award shows, because it's all fun. It should be fun. And you're celebrating the best of TV, which is giant. It's almost bigger than film now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much content that's, you know, this in this era now. I mean, there really isn't even a difference, I don't think, so much between the internet and TV anymore. It's just one media. It's just either you're watching it or you're not, but this is the best of the best. Everyone should be celebrating and happy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there's just so much pressure now, and I don't know if it's because of ratings and the irony of ratings going down, and so suddenly there's more pressure on
there
the host.
There is no ratings. There's no such thing. It's like, I just don't, it's silly to even talk about. It's like, it's either you're watching or you're not. You're watching on something. You're going to see it. If you want to, it's like, I think if you try to speak to a teenager today about the ratings are down, they'd be like, what are you talking about?
Right. Yeah.
Either you watch Game of Thrones or you don't. I don't know where I see it. I don't know what time it's on. I watch it on HBO Go. I watch, you know, whatever thing it is. Either you saw Avengers or you didn't see it. It's not like, oh, the numbers are up or the number. They don't care about that stuff. It's like, it is, television is your phone, is the internet, is the thing. Is the thing gone viral anymore? I don't think that's a thing. It's either you're watching or you're not. So I think when these award shows come up, first of all, how lucky is anyone to be getting an award for this? I mean, you really should be getting an award if you have a bad year. That's when you really need the award.
Right, right.
You don't need another award.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I got beat up in the press. Dude, I need an award, man. It makes me happy this year. That's when you go, I got to give this person an award. They're still standing up. I mean, come on. As opposed to someone who has just won 10 awards and they're going to win an 11th award. And you're like, it's kind of boring.
Yeah.
You know, but I always loved the Emmys. I always watched them when I was a kid. My mom was a giant fan of award shows. Every Academy Awards, she would get dressed up in a dress and have champagne and give her acceptance speech.
Yeah.
And it was like so corny, but funny.
Well, because the Oscars didn't have a host, of course, that's a lot of the conversation now. Do these shows need hosts?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't know. It worked for me. What was the last one that didn't have a host? The Academy Awards.
Yeah, so the Oscars, they went without
a
host.
It moved.
Yeah.
That was great. I think get to it.
Yeah.
Get to the... I mean, we just started this new thing I just wanted to experiment with. We took our opening credits out, our opening, like, little short film. Like, usually, like, the Roots will play a little bit. It's a Tonight Show. And
yeah.
We took that out. We go right to the monologue.
Well, what made you decide to do that?
I think it was me watching Netflix and using the skip intro button.
Yeah.
And realizing that you don't have that on network TV.
Yeah.
So you're forced to watch this.
Yeah.
Every night. And you go, I get it. Jimmy Fallon's going to walk out. Yeah. We get it. You're walking around New York City. You're ordering a hot dog. We get it. There's no other cast members. You know. So I think get to the funny. Get to the comedy. I'm going to tune in 11:35, and I want to see you be funny. Give me the jokes. What's happening in the world? Give me the headlines. What is the president doing? What's the new pop culture thing people are talking about? Show me a viral video, and then let's go.
Yeah.
Entertain me. I'm tired. I worked all day. I don't need to see you walking through New York. It's beautiful. So I think, I get it.
And
you know,
it's fun. Yeah.
We're trying it. I mean, I we're always up to try new things, and any idea is always, we always love any idea on our show, but we're trying that now. But I think there's always ways to change things and grow in the right direction and see, like, you know, like we just surpassed 20 million subscribers on YouTube. Will that matter in 5 to 10 years? People might not even talk about subscribers. It might not make sense to people. But it's a big deal for late night hosts.
Yeah.
No one's even going to do anything close to that. But it's like, we focused on that. We were like, oh, if this works this way, like, we can make more people watch that, which is great for our writers. And they get paid, and people get to see the bit that you spent all months writing for. Whereas Johnny Carson, you would write a bit for Carson, and you see it that night, and that was the end of it.
Yeah. You got to go where the people are, and that's where the people are.
Well, also, but isn't it great to go, I wrote that sketch. And they go, what sketch? The one that was on last night. I didn't see last night. You'll never see the sketch ever again.
Like, exactly. Wow. Except for, like, in a best of Carson.
Now you can go online and you go, oh, that's the sketch you're talking about. That's the Avengers thing they did. Or that's Ariana Grande singing musical impressions. Or that's Jimmy doing Bernie Sanders rapping to Old Town Road.
I was watching you croon to Hungry Like the Wolf this morning.
Oh, my gosh.
With the Roots.
Dude, that was like... Well, the fun thing about our show is that also it's a variety show.
Yeah.
Which I think aren't really around anymore. But you can sing and you could wear a costume or an outfit or do a sketch or play a game. It's like... It really is a true variety show. So we're lucky to have that great band.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you have the Roots, you take advantage of the Roots.
How great do they sound? Right. Like, so we do this bit... It's not for our show. It's just for online, for short form. And it's called Cover Room, where we have different bands come on. We go, is there any song that you want to cover? Just go in this room and we'll light it differently. We'll have a remote crew, a digital team that films them, and they'll do a cover song. So we've had Kesha do one. We've had Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats do Atlantic City, which is a good version. And so I go, well, maybe we'll do one, just me and the Roots. Why not?
Yeah.
We're here. So I go, let's do Hungry Like the Wolf. Which is, the lyrics are tricky.
Yeah.
I like, duck in the city, night as a wire. Night as a wire? Okay.
Right, right.
I have no idea what that means.
I think most of us just kind of go,
exactly. That part I know the words to.
Yeah.
So we just did that, yeah, just for fun and just see how we could play and experiment and expand through whatever medium it is. I don't know where it ends up. I have no idea. We're number one on MySpace right now.
Exactly. Friendster?
Yeah, exactly. We actually did release something on MySpace today.
Did you really?
Yeah, we did a thing called Beto Breaks the Internet.
Oh, I saw. Someone just, we got the press release for
so
that.
I put one on MySpace where it's him singing with himself, kind of in a garage. I have one where he's on Instagram where he's at the gym standing on things because he loves to stand on things, Beto O'Rourke. Mm-hmm. I have one on Facebook where he's just answering Facebook questions, moving his hands all around. He loves his hand gestures. And we did one more just using the,
ASMR? Yeah,
ASMR. Why he's just right into the microphone. Right. Just whispering. And he has a secret ponytail that pulls out, just combing his ponytail. It's pretty silly. But we try to hit all different social things. And a thing called Beto Breaks the Internet. Not for our show, just for fun.
Just have fun.
Well, just to see what happens. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's exciting.
I have one more question to ask you after this. So let's we'll wrap up the podcast, and then let me ask you something real quick.
Perfect.
So, Jimmy, thank you so much for stopping by.
I'm so honored, and I love it. Thank you. I love the show. Thank you, and I'm just so happy to give credit where credit's due. All those guys that worked so hard on that episode of Taxi, Christopher Lloyd, I love you, and all those guys. I'm happy to actually give props to those people that inspired me.
Thanks, Jimmy. Great seeing you.
Bye-bye.
And that's it for this edition of My Favorite Episode. Join us again next time as we once again explore another guest pick. And be sure to subscribe to My Favorite Episode on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you download podcasts. Also, head on over to Variety.com for your daily fix of TV news, analysis, and reviews. I'm Michael Schneider, and we'll see you again next time.